Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Good morning, everyone. Americans talk a lot about their frustrations with politics in Washington, but they may have more frustrations depending on what state they're from. And internationally, we talk a lot about failed states rogue states, that sort of thing. We're going to take a look at the state of Florida through that lens a little bit. And let's remind you all of what we are asking this morning. The people of Haiti still have needs since the earthquake in January. It's still a devastated place in need of different kinds of aid. We talked about it yesterday, but we've been asking you, what does Haiti need right now? And people in South Florida, where I am this week, have definitely been weighing in. We're going to share those voices with you later on in the hour. You heard some of the responses, right, Celeste?
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Great
somebody
ideas.
Actually suggested you've got to get rid of those textile quotas, for heaven's sakes. I love our listeners and how they weigh in. And Celeste, you know, I talked with Carl Hyacin a moment ago there in the top of the newscast. You might say, and listen to this, this is what it would sound like if we were in the mind of Carl Hyacin right now.
I gave you anything you want.
Little owls, even if they are in danger.
Diamond ring.
We're the only ones who care.
I've got a little surprise for you.
Alexis. Ow! I love you.
Some random fragments of dialogue from the movies of Carl Hyacin's books, Hoot and Striptease. But if you strung together all the seemingly bizarre characters and punchlines of this novelist journalist, you might actually begin to get a clear picture of Florida. You a Carl Hyacin fan, Celeste?
Absolutely. I've read probably three or four of the books.
Politics is a dirty business. We've asked Carl Hyacin to come in and help translate Florida politics and culture. Good morning, Carl.
How you doing?
Doing great and actually having a lovely time down here. And I'm wondering, let's just set the premise right at the top. You have made a career out of describing the eccentricities and some of the political failures in the state of Florida. Do you think Florida is, in a sense, a snapshot of America generally in the future in terms of its inability to make a decision, divided electorate, and the entertaining show business that increasingly comes out of Washington?
Well, if Florida is a snapshot of the future America, then we should all be moving to the Bahamas. That would be my recommendation. I hope that it isn't.
But characterize the Florida politics for us. Why, I guess we all were surprised, and you alluded to this already, by the situation in 2000, Bush v. Gore, and the divisions and the way the election was conducted. But in many ways, what happened in 2000 represented trends that have been developing for a long time in Florida.
Well, it did. I mean, nothing goes smoothly here, and the partisanship that you see in Washington now has been a part of Florida politics for a long, long time, and we don't have really the gridlock, because it isn't that the House and the Senate in Florida are controlled by the Republicans and have been for a while. But in terms of the bitterness and the craziness that you see, I mean, I still think that Florida is ahead of the curve, even ahead of California in that area. Part of it is the extreme diversity that we have. As you know, if you go up into the panhandle of Florida, Pensacola and Tallahassee, those places, that whole section couldn't be more different from Miami. You
right.
Really wouldn't ever dream that you were in the same state. Central Florida is completely different from North and South Florida. The Keys are different from anywhere on the planet. So you've got an incredible amount of diversity. And the fact that so many of our 18 million residents are from somewhere else, there is not an immediate native impulse to vote one way or another on anything. You've got these fractured constituencies and fractured cultures. You pick up the Herald today, and one of the headlines is they catch some guy importing giant African snails, and he's making his religious followers in Hialeah drink their bodily juices. You know, this is just, and it's not even like on the front page. You know,
right.
I mean, you know.
Why didn't we get that person in this segment as well? Well, talk about the Senate primary campaign. There's a Republican Senate primary campaign.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a hotly contested race. You've been writing about it.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's Charlie Crist, our incumbent governor, and Marco Rubio, who's a young guy who served as the Speaker of the House in Florida for about 2 years, and he's running as sort of the Tea Party Darling, and Charlie is a moderate Republican, which is, of course, in this day and age spells certain doom. So it's getting ugly and getting bitter, and this is just what every columnist loves, of course.
Carl, let's listen to a bit of a Rubio ad, and then you can deconstruct a little bit of the language and tactics, because as a Tea Party candidate, this is something of a bellwether. Listen to this ad from Marco Rubio.
Washington is broken, and too many politicians don't get it. America needs Republicans who will stand up to Barack Obama, not join him. Leaders who will stand for conservative values, not sacrifice them. If we are willing to do that, when it's popular and when it's not, we can keep America great.
Now, it's my understanding that Florida went for Barack Obama in 2008,
yeah, excuse
right?
Excuse me, I'm just wiping that tear from my eye because that was a touching, from a common man who used a Republican Party credit card to buy himself a $134 haircut. He's a real Tea Party hero, isn't he?
Wow. Is it possible to run against the president who won the state in 2008 and win in Florida?
Absolutely. We have high unemployment here. But keep in mind, this is the Republican primary, so this pitch is going to be completely different. He's attacking Charlie Crist because Charlie Crist stood on the stage with Barack Obama and accepted federal stimulus money. Now, in a state with an 11.5% unemployment, the stimulus money was, much of it was going to pay teacher salaries, police salaries, you know, real socialist things, right? Any governor who turned down that kind of money coming from the federal government would have been, hung in effigy, whether you're Democrat or Republican. Charlie's mistake was that he gave Obama a little man hug, you know, gave him a little... Man, right. And by the way, if you see the film of that, Obama doesn't look terribly comfortable with the whole thing.
Right, right.
But Marco's been jumping on that. That's his big thing, the big hug.
Any chance, we've got the governor problems here in New York, scandals plaguing David Patterson. Of course, Elliot Spitzer with the hookers and all that drove him from the governor's mansion. Any chance you're going to move up to New York? We could be outdoing you in New York.
Keep in mind that Elliot came down here for some of those call girls. We are still the epicenter of sleaze, and we're a magnet for all. There's always going to be a Florida connection, no matter where
epicenter
the scandal is.
Epicenter of sleaze. And Carl Hiaasen right in the middle of it. Carl, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, John. It's good talking to you again.
Great. Carl Hiaasen, columnist for the Miami Herald, trying to translate Florida politics for us.